Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Jess, do you think you're part of a wider problem?
No, I think I've never been incorrect or wrong in my life. Please go on.
Really? You just completely went to the other end of the scale there. You didn't even just say, no, in this instance, I'm fine. It was like, ever.
I've never been wrong, okay. Tim. Please continue.
There's something that you, I don't know why you were trying to get me on your side with this.
I am always on your side. Why can't you just be on my side?
I disagree. Now, I feel like this is a conversation that might happen in your house, because yeah. I guarantee there is one person in your household that's just like Jess, and it has to do with putting things in the recycling bin. We talk about bins a lot on this show.
We do talk about bins a lot.
Bins are great. We need to respect the process. We need to make sure that everything is okay with the bins. Jess, you were saying that your husband has been getting quite agitated with you because you are completely ignoring him when he's giving you something. He's asking you to do something.
So we had a conversation a few weeks ago about our recycling bin, because we have a recycling bin in the garage, and then it's Akshay's job to empty the bin into the yellow bin,
right,
ready for recycling day, which for us is a Wednesday night, right? So he sent me a message saying, hey, as previously discussed... This is yesterday. As previously discussed, could you please flatten any boxes before you throw anything in the little recycling bin in the garage? It took him like 20 minutes to flatten all the rubbish that we had in there. We had quite a fair bit, you know, with the wedding and everything. We were unboxing a lot of things. I didn't realize it was that much of an inconvenience.
The volume you can lose in a recycling bin by not folding down the boxes is wild.
How long does it take him? What, an extra 20 minutes? Whatever.
Imagine if you were going to do something that would take 10 seconds and something that your husband had done caused you an extra 20 minutes of time. You'd be flying off the rails. Your bra would be off. You'd be ready to fight.
Why am I
taking
my bra off?
Because you'd be ready
to
scrap. You've got to admit, I love my wife to death, but she's also in this camp. Growing up, mum and my sister, they just wouldn't fold things down.
I've told you for many years, Tim, bins are a boy's job. That's why I have a husband.
The silence. I feel like it needed some silence there to just put into what
I'm
you're
a strong,
saying.
Independent woman. I don't want to flatten my boxes. I don't want to do it.
What's the issue though?
I just can't be bothered. don't do that face at me. It was also the as previously discussed that I did not like in the message yesterday.
I mean, had you sorted this out before the marriage, would it have gone through? That's what I want to know. Because sometimes, and like, don't get me wrong, when you order food delivery ones where like, without figuring out a way to not say the exact brand, things like HelloFresh.
Sure.
They give you a mighty box.
Oh my God.
Every single week. A big rectangle box that is quite tricky to fold down. But it's exciting as a challenge to get that to be nice and flat so that you can fit a lot more in the recycling. Because the recycling bin is the one that gets away from you. And then we're in a backlog now because we missed 1 week because we were up in Queensland.
We had to go to the recycling centre last week, and the guys at the recycling centre congratulated him and complimented him on his folding abilities. Yep. And all of a sudden, you should have seen how big his head was. He was like, oh, see, this is why I do a better job than you. And I was like, I don't want to fold the boxes. I've never said I wanted to.
Not to brag, but the last time I went to the recycling center, I folded the cardboard. I'd separated the polystyrene. I'd separated all the different plastics, and I'd pulled up, and the boys, they just said, it's you again. And it's like the best way to be recognized in my entire life.
Yes, it's me, Tim from the radio. No, you're the polystyrene guy.
Yeah. I'll happily be the polystyrene guy for the rest of my life. If you are the person in your household, stereotypically, hate generalizing, stereotyping. Mm. It's most likely women. If you're not folding, just fold. Just fold.
Just live your life, baby girl. We're just little, you know, I'm just a little girl at heart, you know?
Okay. At heart?
I don't know. Well, I'm not a little girl in reality, am I?
Okay, all right, calm down.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, I have seen a study today that has got to be propaganda from boomers. It's just got to be.
Now, propaganda is a bold thing to label anything these days because, you know, propaganda is used in wars to try and convince people that they're doing the right thing. And
yeah. Let me tell you what the study is, and you tell me that it's not a bunch of boomers getting together and being like, oh, this will convince them.
Okay, sure.
Okay, here we go. So the researchers in this study looked at more than 7,000 people to see how their employment patterns affected their mental health.
Okay.
Right? So it turns out that those who work traditional daytime hours, 9 to 5, were less likely to report depressive symptoms by the age of 50 compared to those who had, you know, shift work, more volatile kind of work situations.
Volatile.
That's the word they've used, volatile.
Okay. So essentially they're saying anything other than standard 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You're unhappy.
I'm surprised they didn't say, come back to work, stop your work from home. It just feels very propagandary.
But isn't this one of those things, like we talked about a lot of studies on the show, like a few weeks ago, if even, I think we spoke that a 2 p.m. till 9 till 2 actually was a more effective work day for everybody than like people's overall happiness and health.
Yeah.
Is this just another example of people using the data that works for them?
I think so.
I think they're all using the same sample source here, but they're like, oh, we found a couple of little numbers that work well for us. So
they've gone into a bit more detail. They said these like work hours have repercussions. So people with work patterns that involve like, you know, variability, so shift workers, for example, are more likely to have fewer hours of sleep per day, lower sleep quality, lower physical and mental functions, and higher likelihood of reporting poor health and depressive symptoms at the age of 50.
Well, see, the way I interpret that, and they're saying 9 to 5, but I would just say, even if you're not 9 to 5, say you're 10 till 8, but you're 10 to 8 5 days a week, like whatever that is.
Or maybe you're perhaps 11 till 6.
Yeah, 11 till 6-ish. I think they're talking about consistency.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Even if you consistently work nights, I think that's better than working 2 nights, 1 day, day off, 2 nights,
they
one
did
day,
suggest
day
that working
off.
Outside of traditional hours interferes with our circadian rhythm, resulting in poor sleep quality, thus affecting the brain.
This circadian rhythm that everyone's banging on about.
Yeah.
I understand that it's something that sets when we're like children, when we're babies, and then we just kind of use that example moving forward. But if you do something long enough, it breaks that, right?
Does it?
Well, it takes a while to kind of let it grow over, because like in my younger years when I was working like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. starts.
Yeah.
And then you and I used to do a breakfast radio show in a past life. You get used to that. And then it took a while to get used to waking up, you know, when the sun was up actually.
I think you and I have just, never had a real job. So
speak for yourself. You know my past
career.
Okay,
you sold doors for like a year.
Why do you have to say it as doors? I sold doors. And it was for just over a year.
Did you feel mentally stronger when you were selling doors?
No, because I didn't want to sell doors.
So then it's propaganda. This is what I'm saying. The boomers are trying to get us back into the workplace.
I guarantee you in the next 2 weeks, if your manager is over the age of 45, you will have a meeting and they will tell you, hey, everyone, we're going back to 9 to 5. Yeah. No more work from home. And they're going to use this study and you can thank Tim and Jess.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
The news happens every single day. You can't stop it.
No.
The train is always chugging along.
That's why they call it news.
What?
It's not olds. It's news.
I don't know if that's the worst fun fact of all time or just a bad joke, but you should be sorry regardless. I'm going to hold you to an apology, Jess. Say sorry
okay,
so we can move
I'm
on.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Metricon gives you freedom to get more of what you want in a brand new home. Tim and Jess.
K-Rock. Have you been paying attention? But on the radio.
Let's find out. Tim from the Tim and Jess Show is bringing us 3 news stories today. He's going to leave out some key elements. It is my job to fill in the blanks.
I'm confident with you today, Jess.
Okay.
I think you're pretty you just seem on today.
Yeah,
It's not a gift I get every day, but when I can just see a look in your eyes, and I know you've been paying attention. Okay, Billie Eilish, she's making news for something on Instagram at the moment. What is it?
She has decided she's launching a new fashion brand. No? She's quit music.
No, she added all of her followers to her close friends.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which is a lot, a few
Why
million.
Why not just post?
Well, what she's doing is she's trying to promote her new album, which has been very under wraps. So I imagine she's like, hey, we're all close friends. I'll tell my close friends about the album
course.
That's coming
out.
Of course,
you follow me, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, that sort of thing.
I don't know if it's a deal or no deal situation, but yeah, I think it's just a quirky way to get the album out there.
Good idea.
Okay, moving on. A French couple has been handed a one-year prison sentence after going over the threshold for the amount of cats they own. How many do they own?
There's a threshold for how many cats you can own?
And I've got the Australian threshold as well. Before you have to get a permit.
Oh, okay. Five?
So you think they went to jail because they had five cats?
Well, I don't know what the threshold is. 100?
Closer. 160.
Why 160? That's such a specific amount.
They had an 80 square meter apartment in Nice. They were also ordered to pay more than $220,000 in damages to animal welfare. And a lifetime ban on owning pets. In Australia, after you own three cats, you have to get a permit to have more than three cats.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Well, lucky you've only got one, so you don't know the rigmarole of owning kitties. Third and final story of the day. Workers are being warned to look out if their boss uses three words in particular, which are being described as toxic. What are the words?
Do it for free. That's four. Damn it.
No.
Work from home.
We're a family.
Oh, yuck. No, you never want a workplace to say we're a family.
A career strategist said it was all down to how loyalty and family in a work setting could enforce pressure upon employees to go above and beyond the normal threshold that they would have. Because, like, hey, you would do anything for your family, right?
Yeah. Lucky our boss, Tom, has a very famous slogan of saying, work friends aren't real friends. So,
do you know what's funny? Tom and Log were chatting about that this morning on the show.
Yeah.
And that exact quote, Jess. It's almost 12 hours to the T.
There you go.
That was said by...
Because he says it so often.
Yeah. Is it on the mug he got us for Christmas?
It is, yep. Work friends aren't real friends. But if they were, you would be my favourite, is what he wrote on everyone's mug.
Well, I don't believe him all of a sudden. So just be careful there. If your boss says we're a family, it means they want to take advantage of you, probably.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
There is some scary AI stuff going on. And how often do we find ourselves saying something along those lines AI is getting a little bit advanced.
It has. I feel like in the last few years, it's advanced much quicker than ever before.
Even ChatGPT, that's been only going on for maybe 12, 24 months?
Yeah.
At max. And it's one of those things as well where I've been very vocal of my fear.
Yes. You have been.
You love aspects of it.
Anything that can make my life easier, you know I'm around, Tim.
Okay.
That's fine.
There is some artificial intelligence issues at the moment. There's a company called OpenAI. It's developing voice cloning. Apparently, you just need 15 seconds.
Aren't OpenAI the ones behind ChatGPT?
Yeah, they're the big ones.
Yeah, great.
Apparently, they've developed this tool. If you just can have 15 seconds of sample audio, it can recreate and completely accurately clone someone's voice, have them saying anything, sparking very big fears.
That would be unfortunate for anyone who has just thousands of hours of podcasts available online, wouldn't it, Tim?
So the tool is called Voice Engine, but the company said, look, we've made this. We're probably not going to give it to you.
Sure.
Because we've realized the concern. Because even there are some programs where I feel like some celebrities have almost gotten in hot water because they're like, oh, look, this celebrity said this.
Yeah.
And they come out and they go, it was not me. And there's no like little asterisks at the end of these things to be like, well, this was generated by AI.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, very concerned about that. But at the end of the day, hypothetically, because I look at like the radio show and I go, there's 15 seconds of us just from speaking right now.
Yeah.
And apparently it can pick up on accents. It can do all these things.
Oh, God.
But it's not creating thought though, right? Like, say if our bosses were like, oh, look, we found out ChatGPT can do the radio show. We've got your voices. You'd never signed a contract saying you own them. But they have, how are they meant to talk about, someone would have to write them.
Yeah, they would still need us.
That would be hard work.
Yep.
And then I, but then one day, technically, if I'm having, if maybe I've lost my voice,
yeah,
I just get the tool engine, voice engine out, and I just go, all right, write in all my things that I think I'm going to say. And then you just go, oh, Timmy, how great day across Geelong. Yeah, Jess, it's really great, isn't it?
Yeah, see, the, it's too robotic.
That was actually me, though. That
okay.
Wasn't the, you saw me say that as well. Did you think it was the robot?
No, but like, it's going to sound too robotic.
Apparently, because... it's quite...
Oh, I don't
like they don't
that,
use the word
Tim.
Clone lightly. It's not like a clone where they clone a human being and then it just flops to the ground because it has no brain and it can't do anything. Like they're saying this can be pretty similar. So
yeah.
But they're saying we've made it. We're not going to give it.
Oh God! But it's just got it sitting there.
Lock it in.
And
a
just because they're not going to give it doesn't mean someone else isn't going to create it and yeah. release it.
It might actually be out now, and this might not be Tim and Jess.
Oh. How would we know?
How would they know? I don't know.
This is Tim and Jess.
Feel like the most common animals to own are dogs and cats.
Yeah.
You would have to say goldfish are up there. What else
Birds.
Could be? Birds. Ooh, they'd be in the top five, I guess.
Yeah.
Rabbits.
Oh, my God, yes. We had heaps of rabbits growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Well, we had a couple of rabbits and then they you know...
When
two rabbits love one each other very much, they have lots of little baby rabbits. So we had a lot of rabbits.
Right.
Then we had none. it's a roller coaster.
I imagine as someone who hasn't owned rabbits, people that have listening to that would have just been like, yeah, that sounds about, yeah, that's my childhood memory of that. Now, in your house, does your cat, Miss Penny?
Yes.
Miss Penny, does she sleep in the bedroom?
Penny sleeps where Penny wants to sleep. So
kind of cat's rules, yeah.
Yeah, she'll sleep on the couch sometimes. Sometimes she'll sleep on the bed, like at my
on the
my
pillow.
Head on the pillow. Sometimes I'll find her like just asleep in front of the window in the bedroom.
Nice.
But a lot of the time she will sleep on the couch.
Now I've gone through phases as a dog owner. Like grew up, dogs were always like outside.
Yeah.
Pets, like sometimes they would come inside, but whatever. Then after a couple of years of owning our dog, I was like, hang on, why? Like, these are rules that I didn't set. I can change that. And then our dog started sleeping inside in, like, the laundry, and then it moved to into the bedroom just near the door. And then right before our son was born, pretty much that's what would happen. Now our dog sleeps outside again. But I did go through a massive period of, like, 2-3 years where the dog was sleeping in the bedroom.
Okay.
Studies come out about who gets better sleep, dog owners or cat owners.
Oh, here
we
go.
When it comes to if they sleep in your bedroom or not. I find it fascinating because essentially they're saying anyone that sleeps with a pet in their room overall, anyone who did this study, feels better about it.
Okay.
But there is one pet in particular where there is more negative effects on someone's sleep than the other pet. People that own dogs are getting worse sleep.
Oh, really?
I feel like, and that's, to me, as someone who's never owned a cat though, I go, my dog's never sat on my face in the middle
but
of the night.
Do you think it's because dogs, cats are more independent? Like if Penny needs to wee in the middle of the night, she's not waking me up. She can go by herself.
Yeah, well, my dog would come up to the side of the bed and kind of start nuzzling my hand and go, we're on here, Dad. I need to go out. But now she sleeps outside. It's not really an issue. But sometimes, like, if the dogs get up and they shake. And I would say mostly dogs are probably dirtier than cats.
Sure. Well, they go outside more.
Yeah. So essentially showing 93% of the people that were in this study that co-slept with their pets reported a positive or neutral overall effect on their sleep. But the actual results were saying that people that co-slept with their dogs showed evidence of negative, opposed to people that sleep with their cats, co-slept with their cats, have no evidence of a negative effect.
Oh, wow.
As much as you'd think, like, cat sitting on your head in the middle of the night is probably annoying. So if you're a cat owner, guns for you. Everything seems to be, and that's if the cat sleeps in the bedroom with you and your partner by yourself, that's good news.
I have to tell my husband because he doesn't like it when Penny comes into the bed with us. And I'm like, well, she was here before you were, so
there is he does have scar tissue in an area where
we didn't need to bring that up.
Well, I'm just saying I don't think he was surveyed because Miss Penny found a mouse that she wasn't meant to find one time.
That was my other cat. Before Penny.
Oh, okay.
That mysteriously disappeared. I'm kidding.
Oh. Oh, there's a scandal.
Come on. All things Thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.